Get everything you need to bring home the holidays on Black Friday at Menards. Doors open 6 a.m. A Nerf Blaster Dog Toy Blast Tennis Ball 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious Dubai Chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing Squish Lamps and Performax Drill Bit Sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Doors open 6 a.m. on Black Friday. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
Hello and welcome to the Yes to Life show on UK Health Radio. I'm Robin Daly, host for the show and also founder of Yes to Life, the UK charity helping people with cancer to help themselves. Integrated medicine, the judicious combination of conventional treatments supplied by our hospitals with a raft of lifestyle and complementary therapies, needs and has its advocates, its spokespeople, and one such activist is Grace Ogan, otherwise known as Gigi, who has been sharing all that she has learned through her own experience of cancer through the medium of a hugely creative podcast, Journeys with Grace.
Hi Gigi, really great to have you as my guest on the Yes to Life show.
Morning Robin, happy to be here, thank you.
I want to start straight in by telling our listeners that you're the creator of an amazing podcast, Journeys with Grace. It's a total sound experience and you use it as a means to share your experience in a really immediate and impactful way. I've got to say, I'd never heard anything quite like it before. So this is a kind of quiet affair in comparison, but I really like it. Seriously original. And I'm guessing you intended a bit of a double meaning in the name.
I did, yes. Yes, I did, actually. So I think with Journeys with Grace, it was a journey with me, Grace, but also it's a journeys with Grace. You know what I mean? So yeah, there is a double meaning there.
Oh, and I thought hope so, people, yeah.
Pick up on it and notice.
Great. So a big part of your recent experience that you've been sharing about has got to do with the diagnosis of cancer that you received a few years back. I wonder if you start out by telling us, well, what were you doing in the years leading up to the moment when you were diagnosed?
So before my diagnosis, I was living with Crohn's disease. And so for those people who don't know, Crohn's disease is a disease of your bowel, your large intestine, small intestines, this inflammation. So I'd been living with that for many, many years and was using conventional medicine because that's what you do. That's all you know, at least for me at the time. And I was managing fairly well, but that became arthralgia as well. So 30% of people who have Crohn's disease and probably other gut issues can experience arthralgia, which is just pretty much arthritis, I would say. So yeah, I was living with that, taking their medicine, still trying to live my life. I mean, I was in my early 20s, trying to study, chasing music, playing football and going to university. And yeah, that was just really sort of impacting my lifestyle and my health generally. And they asked for me to do, I think it was the removal of my small intestine. And there was something about that that didn't really sit well with me in my early 20s.
I bet.
Wanting to remove my gut, part of my gut, staying right with me. At the time, I didn't even know anyone who had Crohn's disease, apart from one head teacher that I worked in his school. And he showed me his scar. And when I saw that scar, I was like, yeah, I'm not doing that. So I think after seeing that and getting a bit fed up, I started doing some research. And that's when I started to find more alternative stuff when it came to Crohn's disease.
So all the while this was going on, though, you were pursuing your interest in music and things?
Yeah, I was, I've been singing since I was 6 years old, and I come from a family of singers, songwriters. So I've been singing and trying to pursue a career in music. And at the time, I'd done things like Pop Idol, and I was in the mix, you know, getting potential deals and signs, you know, having conversations about a career in music. So yeah, I was busy. I was busy doing that, chasing music, chasing football.
Football as well. Okay. So all of that side, of course, has played into your chosen medium for your hugely creative podcast. You've obviously pulled in all your skills in that and poured them into your podcast. So tell me about your actual diagnosis of cancer. How old were you? What do you remember from it?
I don't really share my age, but it was 7-8 years ago. By that time, I'm in my 30s at this time, just coming into my 30s. So that would give you a bit of a clue. And I had no symptoms. I had no symptoms with this. There was nothing that seemed out of the ordinary. Prior to that, of course, I had the Crohn's disease, but I had spent about 6 months changing my diet and using different things. So the Crohn's disease went from being very persistent and consistent in my life to just nothing really at all. So when I went back to the hospital, it was really just to show them that, look, I done it myself. I didn't need all the drugs that gave me, all these harmful drugs that were quite difficult. There were days when I couldn't really walk with some of the drugs I was taking. So for me to be able to get to a place where I'm not experiencing any pain at all and no side effects was amazing for me. So I went back to the doctors. This would have been 2017, probably about summer, late summer. And I was just, like I said, going to show off. I just wanted to say, look, I've done it myself and I made the right decision leaving your care. So if I just go back a little bit, when I went to speak to my team, my gastro team, I was at a point where I really couldn't walk. I remember I was playing semi-pro football, so I couldn't really walk because of the drugs. So I was having to time how I took them so I could still play football. So I went back and said, look, this is not ideal. This is not ideal for my life in my early 20s. It's not ideal for my career. It's just not ideal. Can we do something about the drugs that I'm taking? And they said no. They insisted that I should take it. And if I came off it, then I basically wouldn't be supported by them. And so I said, well, look, if that's going to be the case, then I'll just leave your care. And so when I left their care, I went on a journey of just reading forums and blogs and stuff. At the time, a lot of the stuff in America that I found. So the things I was finding was aloe vera and chondroitin and glucosamine for my joints. So once I'd done that, it had been so long that I hadn't really had a flare-up, maybe like once a month or once every few months, that when I went back to show off, I was just like, look, I haven't had this issue anymore. Can you just check where I'm at? Like, let me just, because I believed I've been fine for months now, maybe just for you to just have a look and then you can tell me. And I remember the people were new, it was a new team. So they were quite hesitant to see me, but I begged and I told them I was in a bit of pain and they looked at me. I think we'd done a colonoscopy, and then that was fine. And then I said, let's just do an MRI just to clear it up, because I remember what the head teacher had told me. So we'd done an MRI and I went off to Atlanta. So I was writing music and I came back early December. Yeah, they said there was something that they saw in the kidney, and I'm overhearing them, listening to them, and I'm thinking it's not too bad. Of course, I've looked at home to all the different things that could happen with the kidney. I've seen cancer, but I've not given it too much thought because I heard them say CKD when I went in for my ultrasound. And then, yeah, that turned out to be a possible cancer diagnosis, kidney cancer diagnosis. So rapidly, it must have been the 7th of December, and I was speaking with the doctor, and he wasn't clear that it was cancer because he didn't know. like they could see the tumor, and they wasn't sure exactly what it was because I had no symptoms. So where my symptoms were non-existent, I guess it was a bit difficult to be certain of what it was. But I did ask, in terms of how it looked and the characteristics, would you say it was cancer? And he was saying, it's possible, but he couldn't give me any definitive answers. But he was trying to tell me on that day that I should come in for a radical nephrectomy. That is the removal of your whole kidney.
Wow.
And I was just like, you just told me you don't know what it, you can't be sure what it is. So it just didn't make sense to do that. Do you know what I mean? And also, he told me to come in by myself. I think he knew what he was going to tell me. Like when he finally did tell me, which was the week after, he made me come in by myself. And he knew by now that it was cancer, or it was looking more like cancer than anything else. And he made me come in by myself, no family, no support, no friends. So there was me, 30 plus or something years old, sitting in this room. And he's telling me that he thinks it's cancer. And I just was like, yeah, it was crazy. It was crazy.
Amazing that he would deliberately tell you to come in on your own, to give you an announcement like that and leave you unsupported. And just like, well, you know, why? The only reason I can think of for that is he didn't want to deal with, you know, what your family might think about it, their response. So looking after himself, I'd say, but shocking. So I can see how that whole experience with your gut would lead you to think, well, this is something, you know, I can do things to help myself, basically. There's doctors out there with some things that could be useful, but there's also a lot of other stuff. And so your mindset, I imagine, was already in that place when you got this diagnosis right from the start. Is that true?
Yeah, it was. I think for me, I had already had a, like you just said, I just had an understanding that, because remember, maybe I didn't mention this, but the doctor gave me this, the other doctor, the gastro doctor, the new team, they gave me no evidence of disease with the Crohn's disease. And I've been living with Crohn's disease up to that point for maybe 9 years. And it took me 6 to 8, maybe stroke 10 months to reverse that. Now, obviously, some people say that you can't reverse Crohn's disease. That's up to them. I've not experienced any issues with Crohn's disease for, I don't even know, probably about 8 years itself as well. I might get like arthritis or like arthralgia, but the gut itself, no. So for me, I was already in the mind frame that you can do some things by yourself. And prior to that, an ex-boyfriend of mine's dad had being diagnosed with cancer. So I was already doing a bit of research. I was already doing a bit of reading. So for me, I just, well, look, if the body can not give you cancer, but if the body can facilitate cancer, then it probably could support you in healing it as well. I just thought that. I didn't know how, but I did think. And the options that they were giving me were, in fact, they didn't actually give me the option of chemo or radiation because they were quite clear that the kidneys do not respond to it. And that was a big, big catalyst for me to be like, right, I'm doing my own thing because you can't really help me anyway. Do you know what I mean? Whereas that when some people are given the option for conventional medicine, even if they did want to consider alternative routes, just having that option, it's hard because you want to consider it. So I just think it made it easier for me because I knew, you said the kidney doesn't respond. So it was like, just like, yeah, great. I just had to convince my family because this was new to them. This was new to them. And like they just thought conventional wouldn't work.
Yeah, it's scary stuff for your relatives when you start asking questions or deciding to do something else.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
With the state of today's economy, it's more important than ever to invest in products that last for years to come. As the seasons shift and get cooler, make sure your closet is stocked with durable layers that stand the test of time from American Giant. American Giant's clothes work harder and are wearable season after season. Their greatest hoodie ever made is made from the highest quality materials that are cut and sewn right here in the United States. So you're investing right back in your local community. Choosing American Giant means taking a stand for American manufacturing and hardworking Americans, something other mega corporations don't care about. From fleece to knit, all in a range of colors for versatile daily wear, American Giant delivers everyday pieces designed for everyday life. Feel the difference of quality, made-to-last clothes from American Giant. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
That backstory, it kind of places you, I can see where you were at the start of your cancer journey, in a rather different place to a lot of people probably. Fast forward, our paths first crossed when you came to a seminar that we organized, it was just a few months ago, exploring the potential of repurposed drugs. And by that time, you've already been at it for quite some years. In your podcast, you describe how difficult it was for you initially to explore the world of non-conventional approaches to cancer and to find people who could help you. So we've actually been here for 20 years now, and probably for about 18 of those, we've had a searchable directory of therapists and providers. And this tells me you didn't ever come across us, which is a real shame. You know, we're pedaling hard here, but we're probably failing to reach various audiences in the way that we'd like to. And you were a younger audience, of course, and people of color, ethnic minorities. So maybe you're able to say something about what's needed to bridge these gaps, as it's challenging.
So yeah, I found Yes to Life 5 years ago. I think I was calling around trying to look for oxygen therapy and someone pointed me in the right direction. So I did find the organization then.
Great.
But prior to that, I didn't know. So I know that there does need to be more visibility. But I just think, generally speaking, when we're looking for alternative help, whether it's from cancer or any other health stuff, I think it's quite hard. I think there's all this other stuff that they put in the search before we can find what we're really looking for. Do you know what I mean? So I don't know if that's just the way that they do things, because they don't really want it be seen. But as far as connecting with the younger audience, or, you know, and different races and stuff, as we know, cancer is hitting more and more younger people. There's more and more younger people dying every single day now. So I think that with the height of social media and the internet, this is a great opportunity to try and target those people, because many of them are of the mindset that the conventional stuff isn't really for them anyway. They're so much more into herbs. They're so much more into better foods and mental well-being. So I think it's needed now. Most people are going to turn a blind eye, especially with what we've had in the last couple of years with lockdown and stuff. I think it really opened a lot of people's eye to what's really happening. Mm. And people really want to become their own doctors now. They want to be in the driving seat of their own healing journeys and their own well-being. So I really think that Yes to Life can tap into that, tap into their need to want to be better, to want to feel better. Do you know what I mean? To want to put better food in their mouth, to want to want to know more. And I think we've the conventional stuff is almost lost its way a little bit. And I'm not advocating that people shouldn't do anything conventional. That's not what I'm saying at all. But I think we can explore. We call alternative health alternative, but actually, when you go back in history, it's not alternative. The conventional stuff is actually the alternative stuff. And I think a lot of young people know that.
Mm-hmm.
They know that and they want to do more.
Yeah. Well, that's interesting. There's quite a few things at the moment. I mean, yes, the government has recognised that the NHS has lost its way and is asking the public what to do about it. And they do realise that the key areas that we need improvements are in health promotion and prevention. And of course, they're all to do with lifestyle. They're all to do with the kind of things that you've been doing to make yourself well. So absolutely, it's a very sensible change of focus. And I'm actually very excited that, you know, for the first time ever, I'm coming across young people who are aware of the fact that they're actually in the firing line for getting cancer, because half of us are, you know. And in the past, nobody wanted to know about cancer until they got it. It was just fingers crossed, I hope I don't, and just know nothing about it. But now people are getting informed and they're beginning to learn what you do in order to stay well, which is really exciting, because it's like, well, it's the only hope for us as a race. And we're all going to get cancer otherwise. So, that is exciting. I mean, amongst your network of contacts, maybe you could just say a bit more about how people relate to conventional medicine and to unconventional medicine, particularly when it comes to cancer. I mean, it's interesting territory, the different kind of attitudes there are.
Yeah, everyone has it. It's really interesting. When I was diagnosed, and like I said, I was telling my family that actually I thought I didn't want to do the surgery then, because the doctor said, look, we can fit you in for surgery in 2 weeks just before Christmas. And I was like, no, I don't want to do that. I want to give myself a chance to change things. So, do you know what I mean? So I know that when it came to my family, they didn't know anything. And then when I looked at my friends, my circle of friends, they didn't know much either. And it inspired that everything they didn't know about health was from me and my Crohn's disease days. So everything they knew was what I knew.
Right.
So they didn't know anything else. So I am afraid that the attitude generally for people was, you get cancer, chemo, radiation is going to get you fine. But I planted the seed that, well, what of the people that we know who've had cancer, they've had chemo and radiation, and they were told they were all fine, and then they rapidly declined months, years later. So I think that was the catalyst for people to start thinking. And then I started sharing books, and then I started sharing information. And I think my parents, my family, my circle of friends started to open their eyes to something else. They were willing to listen. I was finding them cases and showing them stuff. And I think that's it. We don't have enough people to represent their healing journey. We don't have enough people flying the flag for alternative health or healing themselves. We don't have enough. What we do have is people who have had cancer, they've done conventional, chemo, radiation. That's all we have. And the thing is, if we're going to show people that there's something else, people need to see it. It's about representation, like anything in the world. If you think you want to be something, you need to see someone who looks like you sometimes, or from where you're from, or your sex, or your gender, or whatever it is, doing it. So I think with when it comes to conventional and an alternative, people know it's there. They know something's there, but no one's tapping into it, like you said, until they get cancer.
Mm.
But actually, if we're talking about prevention, which is what I do with my friends, my people on my social media, I just post stuff. Obviously, I'm trying to be careful, but like I'll post something. I'll say, I'm using this. This is why I use it. This is what it helps. Feel free to look at it. I give supporting evidence. People can look at it themselves, because it really is about prevention. When I look back at Crohn's disease and I look at the gut and I look at what was happening in my life when I got Crohn's disease, I was under a lot of stress as a kid, a lot of stress. So I had anemia as a child, just having a lot of stress at home. And I think that the gut is where your immune system is. And most of us don't know that. So when we're eating food, we eat food, it's amazing. We're just greedy. Do you know what I mean? Really eating food, but we're not eating food for nutrition. We're not eating food because we're trying to replenish the body. We're eating food because we're being quite greedy. And also we have to look at how they make foods, because I'm sure they make foods with that in mind.
Mm.
Foods are so addictive in a way for some reason. Do you know what I mean? So it's like things like, if we knew more, we could do better, we could do more. And so I think that when it comes back down to conventional, it's not that we shouldn't do it, but know about it, know enough about it, know enough about alternative stuff as well, so that you can make an informed decision. When I asked, for example, about they wanted to biopsy my kidney, and in my head, the idea of doing a biopsy, putting a needle into something, just didn't make sense to me. Because in my head, I thought, well, if it was cancer, once you put the needle in and you pull it out, surely that is going to create cancer all over the place. It's just going to be an explosion. And my doctor categorically told me no. And then I went home and done my own research.
Mm-hmm.
And then I found something called needle track seeding. And it's exactly what I thought it would be. The needle goes in, and then the cancer cells remain on the tract of the needle, and which can promote further spread. So these are things that if people just knew these things, and doctors were honest and would allow us to ask questions, when it's not because we're trying to challenge the doctors, because I feel like sometimes they got their back up, they have their back up, and as if you're trying to challenge what they know. We're not trying to challenge them. We just want to be able to have a constructive conversation about our health or our loved
yeah.
health. And we want their help. We're not trying to tell them that we don't know. We're not trying to come for your jobs. We're not trying to tell you that you don't know what you're doing. But we want to play a part and a role in our bodies, in our life, in how we're going to be treated.
You know absolutely. What I mean? Yeah, I definitely know what you mean. We've got a charter for oncology, which we produced just recently, which sets out how we'd like to see the relationship between healthcare workers and us. And it's not about what they deliver, but it's about how they deliver it. And it includes all the things you've just said there. And of course, you know, the government's recognized that actually we can't go on playing this sort of paternalistic role with healthcare, telling people what we're going to do to them. Actually, people have to learn to look after themselves in just the way that you are and that you're describing. And that's what has got to, that's the change that's got to happen if we don't want to go bankrupt. So it all makes complete sense, but it's unbelievably difficult change to make, because it's a change in a power structure that's been there for far, far too long. Anyway, we're going for it. We've set out our stall as to what we'd like to see, and we're trying to get as much support for it as possible. So anyway, you've realized that you're suddenly a health advocate. You're working, representing something in your community. You're providing a service to them in a way, informing them. And you're setting an example as a role model of what you can do to help yourself, which is, funnily enough, is exactly what the government wants you to do. Even though in a certain way it feels subversive what you're doing, that is actually what is being called for at the moment. It's daft that we're in this situation, but that's how it is.
But maybe they need to contact me, because that's another thing. It's who they, it's the people they put, they use to share this message as well. Like, you've got to use people that are living it, that are doing it. It doesn't make sense sometimes when the person is sharing, the messenger is not living by what they're saying. Sometimes it's hard. Do you know what I mean? Sometimes people need to see you. People need to see that you're doing that. People need to hear that you believe in what you're promoting, what you're pushing, that you're living it. And I'm living it.
Absolutely. You're right. You're authentic. Absolutely right. And people get that message of authenticity. It's very important to them that they're not just getting another bit of propaganda.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
With the state of today's economy, it's more important than ever to invest in products that last for years to come. As the seasons shift and get cooler, make sure your closet is stocked with durable layers that stand the test of time from American Giant. American Giant's clothes work harder and are wearable season after season. Their greatest hoodie ever made is made from the highest quality materials that are cut and sewn right here in the United States. So you're investing right back in your local community. Choosing American Giant means taking a stand for American manufacturing and hardworking Americans, something other mega corporations don't care about. From fleece to knit, all in a range of colors for versatile daily wear, American Giant delivers everyday pieces designed for everyday life. Feel the difference of quality, made-to-last clothes from American Giant. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Your last few years have clearly been a bit of a rollercoaster ride. You've learned a lot,
yeah,
and you've shared quite a bit of that through your podcast. So just tell me a bit more about the decision to go public in your situation in that way. It's not an easy choice, is it?
No, it's just really not. And I think the person, the way that I am, I'm I'd rather just keep things to, not to myself, I ask for help and things like that, but I have a very supportive network of my family and my very close friends. And so it was really important that I was managing that within. But the first ever decision to go public was that I found a clinic and I was thinking, well, by this time I'd had my kidney removed. So I'd had my kidney removed June 2018. And I just wanted more support, really, because I think we had just discovered that there was a tumor in my remaining kidney, which I'm currently living with now. And I was thinking, well, they can't do anything else for me apart from a partial nephrectomy. And I only have one kidney left and I just didn't want to do that. So I found some clinics out in Germany. And I, by this time, I'd already spent every penny that I saved, everything on this one, because you don't know what to do when you're doing everything, you're spending so much, right? You don't have an actual base of someone who you can talk to all the time or see. So you're seeing everyone, you're doing everything, and you're just frantic. So then I made the decision to do a GoFundMe, and which is so hard because I didn't want to ask anybody for money. I didn't want to
have anything
out there. And I just, it's not pride or anything. It was just, it was difficult. It was difficult for my family to have to watch me do that. I just didn't want to do it. But my cousin Manny, talk about him in the podcast, he sat down, he done it with me. And I explained what I was using the money for. I showed people, I think, the clinic I wanted to go to. And in return, I created like a little, an album, because I didn't want to take people's money for nothing. So anyone who donated, I gave them my music. I mean, I'm a musician, isn't it? I'm a songwriter, a singer, so.
Right.
Created some music for them, for everyone who donated. So that was the first time I went public. I went away, done some stuff, which was quite helpful, got my body back into balance, but I still had this tumor there. And so it was like, well, what do I do now? So I thought, I'm going to create a show where I can talk to other people about their health issues. And that was during COVID. And one of the guys kind of disappeared. He got a bit ill, so he disappeared. So I was like, well, what do I do now? And that's sort of how I went into the Spotify podcast. So my podcast, Journeys of Grace, was commissioned by Spotify initially. I'd won a competition with them. And so once I won that, I knew that I was going to share this story. I was like, I'm going to share this story because the story is bigger than me. I didn't want to. I didn't want to share as much yet. I've shared a lot. And so anyone who goes and has a listen, you know, I share a lot of information. I stripped some stuff back, but I didn't want to. It wasn't my intention. But because the story is greater than me, and I feel like I'm the messenger, I'm the message and the messenger, if that makes sense. I just thought, well, I'm going to have to share this because I want to help other people. I think that it can give people the gems and insights into what they can do today. Not wait until they get diagnosed, today. Start making an impact in little stages, but also because I myself still need help. There's things that I found, like histotripsy or something. No, his I don't know what it's called. Do you know? Have you heard about it? Robin? It's
no.
Like an ultrasound. They were doing a trial last year or this. Yeah, last year. I found it. I really wanted to do it. I tried to get onto it myself. I got my doctors at the hospital to try and contact them. But unfortunately, they required me to have a biopsy. And I just can't do a biopsy because I only have one kidney. I can't do it. But the company is Histotripsy, HistoTripsy. I think that's just a non-invasive. It's been, it's FDA approved now. That's
okay.
You can read into it. FDA approved. Sometimes I don't even know if that's a good thing or bad thing sometimes. But anyway, but the procedure, it uses sound waves to completely destroy and eliminate cancerous tumors. So it's almost like radiation, but they zap it and it doesn't leave you any issues. And I really, really wanted to do this trial. They were doing it last year, like I said, I think in Leeds, and they were doing kidney cancer as well. And I really wanted to do it, but the requirements was that I needed to do a biopsy. And to weigh that up, it's just a hard decision because not only with one kidney is it difficult to do a biopsy, anything could happen to the kidney, but also the spread. And because it's a trial and they need the data, obviously they're pushing for biopsy. But I know from what I've read about this treatment, it's people's cancers have just gone. The tumors have gone. Now that doesn't mean I don't know about this. I haven't spoken to anyone directly and know about this, but the tumor itself goes, and that's brilliant. I don't know what happens to your stem cells, the cancer stem cells. I don't know what happens with that because I'd imagine that if it's directly going to the tumor, then it might not go to the cancer stem cells. And for those people who don't know nothing about cancer stem cells, in my understanding, is the hub. So the tumor is almost like a symptom, but the cancer stem cell, that's what needs to really be gone. That's why tumors can be destroyed and maybe come back because this cancer stem cell is still there, it's still present.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if this does, but that's what I wanted to do. And this process, this histotripsy process is like 2 hours, 2 hours, and it can destroy your tumor with minimal damage to surrounding tissues, whereas what they want to do to me now in the hospital is to do a partial nephrectomy. So let's say my tumor, the last time I looked into it, by August when I got my results, it had grown slightly, but let's say it's 1.8 centimeters. If they cut that, let's say that's 5% of my kidney, they would need to now cut around 10% of my kidney, leaving 90%, because they need the surrounding tissues are going to be affected, right? And I don't really want to do that. Same as if they do the cold, the ablation. I said, I don't know what they call it, but it's
cryoablation.
There you go, cryoablation. I don't want to do that. I would rather do the histotripsy.
Just going back to what you were saying about going public. It's interesting because we deal with this. We've actually been doing what we call personal fundraising schemes, which are crowdfunding, but they hadn't called it that back when we started. We've been actually supporting people to do that for years. And the kind of things you described are exactly what pretty much everybody had to deal with. But the stunning thing about them was that actually once they got the nerve up to actually do it, the results were completely different to what they expected. It actually brought very unexpected things, which I think you describe pretty much the same thing.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
an incredibly positive, life-affirming thing to do, but to find out how many people actually do care about you, are willing to support you, and you almost have instant access to money comes in just like that. It's like overnight you get some money to spend on stuff you need to do. But apart from just the money, there's this amazing uplift from having so many people actually caring about you. And furthermore, if you do a good job like you are, you give back in terms of information to all those people about what you're doing to help yourself and how it's helping you, and what therefore what they might need to know one day if they find themselves in your situation. So it's a really great reciprocal deal.
It really is. It really is. And I think that initially I was quite overwhelmed with all the support I was.
Yes.
I mean, it was. I just kept crying. I was, oh my gosh, because you know, so many people were here, people you know, people you've lost contact with, people you don't know. But to be able to give information back, and I must stress how important it is for me to give information back. Every penny that I got, I use it solely on my health. Solely, didn't take anything out through anything else. That was really important to me because people parted with their own hard earned cash to help me. Some people didn't even know me. So for me, I'm indebted to them.
Information.
And I really believe that. I was on a podcast a little while ago and I remember the guy asked me, do I think that I was chosen? And I would never say anyone's chosen to have cancer because it's not something you really deal with. It's really not. And if I could turn back time, I would do so many things different if I knew that could help me. But what I will say is of every person I know, every single person I know, siblings, loved ones, close friends, there's nobody else in that circle who could do what I'm doing, who could be as disciplined as I am, the way that I eat food, the way that I manage my supplements, the way that I read, the way that I, after I eat, go for a walk. There's no one that I know who can manage this.
Yeah.
And so in a way, I don't think that I'm supposed to have this thing, but am I the one who can give this message out? I am. I certainly am, because I really believe in it. And I really do live with it. I mean, live this way for real, like in real life. Do you know what I mean? There's a way that I connect with people that I can share, that I can, I don't want to say give advice, but I can show people what I'm doing, how I'm living, and how it can support and help them and their loved ones too. So I really just feel as though I just want to be able to continue giving back and just being useful. I need to be of use. There's no reason for me to be living with this diagnosis if I'm not going to be able to help people. This is what's the point. Do you know what I mean?
I do. It's fantastic what you're saying. It's right. You wouldn't wish this on anybody. There's no reason why people should have had it or were destined to have it or anything else. But if it is the case, well, what are you going to do with it? That's the question. How are you going to respond to the fact this has happened? And you are obviously responding in an incredibly big-hearted way, which actually gives the whole thing meaning. It gives you purpose.
Yeah.
It's actually a complete answer in a certain way to the whole thing. And it means that you're right on doing the thing that's keeping you as healthy as possible.
Mm-hmm.
It's the great response all round to a horrible situation. And all my admiration for what you're doing. I think it's bloody great.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, look, we're pretty much out of time. Have you got any quick thoughts on where you're heading, plans of things you want to do next?
I think going forward, I'm having very early conversations about turning or adapting the podcast into picture. That's brilliant. That would be great. The podcast itself is great, but sometimes you want something else as well. It sounds very animated, so I think people want to see it in visuals, but also we're exploring potentially doing a book.
So, wow.
You know, picking a hard copy is a bit more easier for people because then they can go to certain places. What she done for this? What she done for mindset? What did she do for food? What about the supplements she took? And I would love to be able to detail some of those things, almost like a little book that people could just have. They just go for reference. Do you know what I mean? So have my story in it, but then what I did, what I'm doing, where I'm at that now. So that would be ideal. And yeah, I'm going to have to try to raise some money as well to try and do this histotripsy so I don't have to do a biopsy.
Mm.
So maybe I'll do some sort of fundraising where I can get people to come down. So I'm not just taking money from people, but I'm actually giving something back to them as well. And we'll do another podcast at some point.
Great.
We've got to get the funding. So if anyone out there wants to fund me, please let me know.
Mm-hmm.
We'll try and get some funding and do number two. But yeah, there's a lot of things in the pipeline. So I can't wait, and I just want to be able to stay well enough to continue to share and give people some hope, because you need it in this journey. You really do need it in this fight, for sure.
You really do. Brilliant. So thanks so much for coming on the show today, Gigi. It's been such a pleasure to find out more about you and your creative work in cancer. And what I'd like to do, if I may, is to round off today with your podcast trailer, just to give everyone a flavour of the series, because there's no telling what it's like till you hear it.
Awesome. Perfect. When I tell people where to find me, is that...
Yeah, do tell people.
Perfect. So you can find me on JWG Story. That's on Instagram, but also you can visit my website, and that's www.jwgstory.com, where you can find the podcast, you can find a bit about me, you can hear some of the songs I've done, and there'll be tips for people, you know, who just want to improve their health. So yeah, brilliant.
Fantastic. Thanks so much, Gigi.
Awesome. Thanks, Robin. Appreciate it. All right, take care.
Bye-bye. Gigi's sound was a little broken up at times, and I do hope that didn't distract from a great interview. As she said, do go and check out her website, jwgstory.com, where you can pick up the podcast and some of her fabulous songs. And now, as promised, to round off the show, here is a taster of Gigi's amazing podcast in the form of the trailer. Thanks for listening today. Please join me again next week for the next Yes to Life show here on UK Health Radio. Goodbye.
My name's Grace.
I know it's hard.
Life. At any given moment, your whole world can come crashing down.
Crashing down.
This podcast is inspired by my world, my extraordinary experiences, a life-changing event, and all the crazy things I've discovered along the way. You're going to hear from my people.
Yo, Gigi, what's good?
Events that changed my life forever.
I thought it was fireworks because of the way it sounded off in quick succession.
Pow, pow, pow.
And it was quiet. The doctor's room was so quiet, as if I'd just been told I had.
Some of you know me as Gigi, others call me Tope. This is Journeys with Grace.
This life.
Trust me, you don't want to miss it. The Journeys with Grace podcast, out now on all streaming platforms.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.